Hi there, I'm Kate McClellan, and I've been a professional wedding planner for over 20 years now. I started Planning Collective when I noticed that though most couples are super excited about getting engaged, they quickly feel overwhelmed and intimidated by the actual process of planning their weddings. If left unchecked, this can lead to massive burnout and the urge to scrap all your plans and just elope. While this is totally normal, you don't have to sacrifice your sanity for your dream wedding. In the Wedding Planning Collective podcast, I'm going to share the processes, tips, and tools that all engaged couples like you need to feel confident, supported, and excited about your wedding plans again. Let's get started. Hey there, before we get to the episode, I have a quick question for you. Have you been unsuccessfully trying to shake that feeling that you're forgetting something when it comes to your wedding? You've got the Knot app and you've downloaded countless other planning checklists, but you just can't get rid of that sneaking suspicion that there's something you don't know yet. It's a very common feeling when it comes to wedding planning. So much so that I decided to put together a free resource to help get rid of what I call FOWO, the fear of wedding oversight. Yes, it does include that 12-month task checklist, but that's just the start. In addition to the ultimate wedding planning checklist, my new Don't Forget list also includes a wedding vendor checklist, your shopping list, a packing list for the wedding weekend, and a complete wedding item setup list to make sure that you are truly not forgetting anything when it comes to your wedding. And you heard me right. This list is free for you to grab right now. Just head over to planningcollective.com/forgetting and it's all yours. That's planningcollective.com/FORGETTING and let's get rid of that FOWO together. All right, let's get on to the episode. Hey guys, Kate here. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. This is the third episode of a 5-episode series where we're talking all about the first steps in wedding planning. And again, I know it is so tempting to jump right into flowers, color palettes, and all the fun stuff, skip past all these boring logistics, but remember the story about Paige and Craig that we talked about in the earlier episodes. They created their budget via the Knot app, booked a venue within that budget, and then realized that it didn't leave them with enough room for the other wedding components that were a big priority for them. Talking about your wedding planning priorities and connecting it to the budget, that's going to be what ensures that you guys don't make that same mistake. And I promise, again, just spending a little bit more time on these 4 pillars, getting them in place, it's going to make the rest of the planning process so much easier. Again, we're not talking about weeks here. We're talking about like 20 to 60 minutes. So as a quick review, in the last 2 episodes, we discussed the common and expensive wedding planning mistakes that a lot of couples make, and I don't want you to make those. We also talked about the accounts that you want to have set up prior to reaching out to any of your vendors. Then we started getting into the importance of having intentional conversations about your wedding priorities, which will not only help you stay on track with your planning, but it's also going to help you stand your ground when it comes to others sharing their opinions about your planning process. And remember the comparison of building a house and planning your wedding. You start with the plans or the blueprint, and then you build out from there, creating the foundation. So just like we're building a house, we need to start with that foundation. And the foundation of your wedding is going to be these 4 pillars that we're talking about. Your priorities, your budget that we're getting to today, your guest list, and your checklist and timeline. Let's get into the budget, and we'll get to those last 2 pillars in the next couple episodes. And as a reminder, if you're listening to the podcast, you can get access to this full series right now over at planningcollective.com/blueprint. It's a free series, and you'll also get access to the workbook that we're going to mention today. All right. Now, the budget is typically not everyone's favorite topic when it comes to wedding planning, but it is definitely one of the most important. I've said that before, right? But that's why we're really digging into these topics here. One of the most common mistakes I see couples make when it comes to the budget is that they plan their wedding backwards. And let me explain what I mean by this. A lot of times I'll see couples saying, how much should we spend on X category for our wedding? For example, I get asked some version of this question all the time. We're planning on having about 120 guests. How much should we spend on flowers? Or what should I expect to pay for catering for about 300 guests? Now, these are super common questions to ask, so don't feel bad if you've thought or asked something similar in the past. But let me tell you why that's actually setting yourselves up to plan your wedding backwards and how it can get you in a lot of trouble. Basing your budget on the average that others are spending doesn't mean that it's going to fit your priorities, needs, or most importantly, budget. So let's go back to our home building analogy here. If you were in a group with others building houses and you were to ask, what should I spend on windows for my new home? You would get a very wide range of answers. You'll have people that share what they spent on windows or what they were quoted from different vendors. But what you don't know is the variety of details that went into them getting that number. How big is their house and how many windows are there? Did they opt for the standard cheaper window? Or maybe they're renovating a historical home and they needed everything to be custom fit to the building. So asking these questions in regards to your wedding, it's not harmful in any way, but it doesn't really help you set what your budget is. Asking what you should spend in a certain category without any context of what your overall budget is simply going to give you others' opinions on what they spent, but it has no connection to your actual wedding or budget specifically. Flowers for a 120-person wedding can vary greatly from one event to the next. There are so many different variables that will come into play. For example, how many wedding party members do you have? What type of flowers or centerpieces do you need? How many centerpieces do you need? Do you need same-day setup and teardown, and so on? These are all the things that will impact the pricing and why you can't plan your budget around just what other people are spending on wedding flowers. So how do you know what you should be spending on the various components of your wedding? The first step is coming up with what I call your big picture number. After that, we're going to break it down to a budgeted amount per category based on the big picture number. In other words, the budget will tell you how much you have to spend in each one of these areas rather than what other friends or people on the internet have told you they've spent from a given vendor. Let's break this down a little bit further. Again, if you're listening to this episode, make sure you sign up for the Wedding Planning Blueprint Preview at planningcollective.com/blueprint because we are getting into the workbook now. Once you go through your wedding priorities, you'll see the next step there is to get the big picture number of what your budget is going to be. Like I mentioned, it's so important to have a solid understanding of this budget prior to booking any vendors to make sure that you are not planning backwards or overcommitting financially in any specific areas. When you're planning backwards, it's easy to lose sight of that big picture number and you end up trying to find the money to pay for the wedding versus knowing what you have to spend and allocating it appropriately. Whenever couples go over their wedding budget, it's almost always because they planned their wedding backwards rather than setting their breakdown before booking anything. And I don't want you to make that mistake. Okay, so let's take some time to go through this budget before you start booking any of your vendors. Promise? Before you get into breaking it down, though, we need to know how you get that big picture number. And let's go ahead and get the tradition talk out of the way. So traditionally speaking, the groom's family is responsible for the rehearsal, the welcome dinner, the bar at the reception, and the personal flowers for the wedding, meaning like the bouquet, corsages, boutonnieres, not the centerpieces or other floral items. The bride's family is responsible for everything else. Thankfully, we are moving away from many of these old school traditions when it comes to weddings, and who pays for the wedding is definitely something that every couple needs to evaluate based on your own personal situation. Of course, not all weddings involve a bride and a groom to begin with. So please take your specific family dynamics and financial situations in mind while you're discussing the budget. These days, I find that the budget is usually made up of a combination of different people contributing, often including the couple themselves. So whether it's both sides and the couple or simply just you as the couple, the best piece of advice I can give you is to have an honest conversation with anyone that you think might be contributing. And it can be awkward. So if you're feeling stuck on how to do this, I recommend that you invite your family over for dinner or coffee or whatever it might be, and let them know ahead of time that the wedding budget is on the agenda. This way they can come prepared, they can have a chance to look at their finances, and they won't feel put on the spot by talking about the wedding budget if they're not ready for it. As you get into the conversation, try your best to be specific with dollar amounts. avoiding vague answers. Talking about money can be really uncomfortable for some people, and I find a lot of family members will make general comments like, oh, don't worry about it, we'll cover it, or saying they'll talk about covering the photographer or the dress or the alcohol. And while their intentions are likely in the right place, they want to help, it leaves a lot of things open to interpretation. Again, so many of us have been taught that it's rude to talk about money or it's uncomfortable to talk about money, especially when it's something that's gifted to you. You don't want to feel like you're greedy or like, how much are you giving me? However, once things are booked and contracts are signed, you can't backtrack if you find out that you were overestimating what your family was able to contribute. You don't want to find out when the payments are due that you and your family have very different definitions of what the wedding budget should be. So make sure that you are very clear with dollar amounts. As awkward as it can be, it will really help you out in the long run. Now, if you do find that your family is really struggling to give you like an actual amount, a dollar amount, or maybe you're having a hard time wrapping your head around how much of your savings you should put towards the wedding, I would recommend that you pull together a budget of what you think the cost would be for your ideal wedding. Reach out to local venues and vendors to get an estimate on what these costs are, but do not book anything yet. Take the total of the estimated number to those contributing, or take a look at your numbers and see if they're comfortable with that as the budget. That way, they can either approve and you know that you're all moving forward with everything, everyone being on the same page, or they can let you know what a number would be that they're comfortable with. So, for example, if you go to them and say, hey, we put together this estimated budget for this venue, it looks like it's going to be about $30,000. That then gives your family the opportunity to say, yes, that works fine with our budget, or hey, we need to scale it back a little bit. You haven't booked anything yet, so you're safe, and it's a way to make sure that everybody is on the same page. Now, the reason I don't recommend you do this unless it's like a last resort is because in the process of reaching out to these venues and vendors, there's a strong chance you're going to fall in love with this vision that you're working on. If you take that number to your family, or if you end up realizing that it is out of your budget, then you're going to be left disappointed and needing to start over. So again, I really recommend you start with the budget number, that big picture number first. Try to get that in your head before you start reaching out to anybody. And that's just going to make it a little bit easier to plan as you move forward. All right, let's head over to the workbook now and start filling things out. The first step is going to be where you list the different contributors and the amount that they're able to contribute to the wedding. When you add those up, you'll have your big picture number. If you're given a price range, meaning you have a cap, but you'd like to keep the cost lower if possible, write down the lower amount for that big picture number. This will give you some flexibility to go over in one or two priority areas if you need to, but that way you're focused on the lower number for the majority of the planning process. Okay, now that you have your big picture number, we're going to see how we tie that into the wedding priorities that we discussed in the previous pillar. So take a look back at the categories in the worksheet that you filled out for pillar number one and rank them based on what's most important to you. This is going to help us break down the category percentages that are associated with each item. Now, don't spend too much time on this. It is just a quick exercise for you to look back on if you get stuck as you're working through the plans. On the next page in the workbook, you're going to see the average percentage spent by couple for each of the categories listed in that middle column. Remember, these are averages and they're meant to give you a starting point. These are the percentages that Paige and Craig used to figure out what they should spend on their venue. The problem was they didn't do the next step where they adjust it based on their priorities. Now, to start, your biggest percentage is likely going to be your reception and catering cost. That's typically going to be 40 to 50% of your overall budget. If you think you want your wedding to be at a traditional venue that offers on-site catering, you'll probably be closer to that 40% range. If you're looking at having a backyard wedding or maybe a unique venue where you're really just renting the venue and you have to bring everything else in, like the tables, chairs, food, catering, all of that, you're probably going to be closer to the 50% to make sure that you have enough room for all of those items. A couple of other quick notes regarding the budget and your priorities. The wedding date may or may not play a role when it comes to budgeting in terms of your priorities. For example, here in Michigan, many venues will offer off-season pricing for weddings in the winter months. So if you're in a very seasonal area, or if you want your wedding to be in a seasonal area, this may impact your budget. Looking further into the categories, we're going to break things down based on those priorities. For example, if having a designer wedding gown is a big priority, then you're going to need to allocate a higher percentage in that category to make sure that you can afford that designer dress. The same is true if you want to have a live band versus a DJ. This average percentage is based on having a DJ, which is a lot less expensive than having a full band. So if you want to have a band, you need to increase that percentage that you're going to see as the base for most of these models. So take some time to go through and break down your percentages while using the averages as a guide and adjust them as needed. Now, I know at this stage, it's really difficult to know what things are going to need to be increased or not. And this is a perfect example of things we can discuss during our office hours in the Planning Collective membership. So if you have some unique scenarios or you want to talk through your specific percentages and the averages that you should be looking at, or rather how you should be adjusting your average number to fit your specific needs, make sure that you sign up for the membership and we can talk it through in an office hour session. And again, remember, this is just a starting point. So don't get too caught up on not having like exact answers at this point. Once you have those percentages, we're going to assign a dollar amount to that category. So for a quick and easy example, if your overall budget is $20,000 and you know you're going to need 50% for your reception and catering costs, then the budget amount for those other items should be $10,000. The rest of your budget would be distributed between all of the other categories there. And again, make sure that you're keeping some of the budget allocated to a miscellaneous category for those things that maybe you don't know that you're going to need yet based on your venue or other things that pop up along the way. I typically recommend 5 to 10% of the overall budget should go towards that miscellaneous fund, 10% for sure if you are in a tented or unique venue. And one final note when it comes to the budget is to recognize that this is very much a starting point. As you get further into the planning process, you're going to learn more about what you need for your venue or for your vendors, and you're going to want to move things around a little bit. That's absolutely fine. The budget is not something that you do once and then you put it away and forget about it. Just like your personal or household budget usually requires a little tweaking to make things work. I always say that it's very much an educational process too, and you want to make sure that you're comfortable with the decisions that you're making and the money that you're spending along the way. For some couples, they are able to follow their budget down to the penny and they don't go a cent over. For others, they're going to end up doubling their budget from what they started with. But if you're feeling in control of your decisions along the way, you're not just spending to spend, that's okay. It's when you start to lose control of the decisions or you don't have an eye on that big picture number as decisions are being made, that things can really start to spiral. If you're on a very strict budget, anytime you need to go over in an area, make sure that you're looking for where you're pulling back from. If you do have flexibility in your budget because you broke things down based on the lower end, or maybe you just simply have the finances to be able to add to that initial budget, that gives you a little bit of wiggle room there throughout the process. And I will tell you that so many couples experience sticker shock when they start planning the wedding, but at some point, you're going to be somewhat like acclimated to the pricing. And honestly, that's one of the most dangerous times because a simple upgrade of $500 for something might stop feeling crazy. On a day-to-day, you're likely not just going to like drop $500 on something without really thinking about it. But when you start to become accustomed to these higher purchase amounts or these higher numbers, upgrading for $500 for an overall of like a $10,000 account or a $10,000 service might not feel like that much of a difference. Oh, it's only $500 more when the total is $20,000 or whatever it might be. But when you do that multiple times, if it's a one-off and you're okay with it, great. But if you're making these small upgrades in all of the different categories, that's where it's really going to start to add up and it's really going to feel like you're spiraling. If you do these small upgrades for photography, we'll just add a couple hours in here. And it's only a $3 or $4 more per person to add on this appetizer. That's where things start to kind of spiral a little bit. So keep an eye on that. Again, in the end, the wedding budget will be a continuous process of checking in on where you're at and keeping a focus on your priorities and that big picture number. Throughout the process, you can and should be adjusting these numbers and the percentages as you're making decisions. All right, we did it. We made it through the budget talk. And again, I know it's not the most fun topic when it comes to your wedding, but I promise you it is going to be so much easier when you have a good grasp on your budget and where you want to focus your priorities. In the next episode, we're digging into pillar 3, the guest list. If you're anxious to get started with that now, remember you can watch all of these episodes now in the Wedding Planning Blueprint preview series at planningcollective.com/blueprint. And as usual, if you are looking for even more wedding chat, head over to the Wedding Planning Collective Facebook group and say hi. It's a growing community of other engaged couples looking for planning help, inspiration, and most importantly, others that just want to talk weddings 24/7. If you found this episode helpful, I would love it if you could take a quick second to rate and review on the platform you're listening on. It would mean the world to me, and it will help other couples get the wedding planning help they need. Thank you so much, and I will see you in the next episode to talk about the guest list.